Today on Jay Sekulow Live, the president announces new guidelines for the American people, and Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib walks back her expletive in front of prayer. We'll talk about that all today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The guidelines, when you look at them carefully, I believe if the people in the United States take them seriously, because they were based on some rather serious consideration back and forth, some may look at them and say they're going to be really inconvenient for people. Some will look and say, well, maybe we've gone a little bit too far. They were well thought out.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
And the thing that I want to reemphasize, and I'll say it over and over again, when you're dealing with an emerging infectious diseases outbreak, you are always behind where you think you are if you think that today reflects where you really are. That's not word speak. Therefore, it will always seem that the best way to address it would to be doing something that looks like it might be an overreaction. It isn't an overreaction.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. And the biggest news really yesterday was 15 announced from the president, the president's coronavirus guidelines for America, 15 days to slow the spread. First, listen to and follow the directions of your state and local authorities. If you feel sick, stay home. Don't go to work and contact your medical provider. If your children are sick, keep them at home. Don't send them to school. And that's, of course, if you live in a place where schools are even still open. Contact your medical provider. If someone in your household has tested positive for COVID-19, keep the entire household at home. Do not go to work. Do not go to school and contact your medical provider. If you're an older person, stay home and away from other people. If you're a person with a serious underlying health condition, they added pregnant women to that as well, that can put you at increased risk, stay home and away from other people. And some of the more specifics, work or engage in schooling from home whenever possible. If you work in a critical infrastructure industry as defined by the Department of Homeland Security, Healthcare Services, Pharmaceutical and Food Supply, you have a special responsibility to maintain your normal work schedule. You and your employees should follow CDC guidelines to protect your health at work. And this was probably the biggest one out of this, because it affects basically every restaurant, every kind of business, every kind of meeting, places of worship. It says avoid social gatherings in groups of more than 10 people.
Right.
That is very small when you think about it. That's a family meeting another family. That's about it. Families meeting each other. Don't eat or drink at bars, restaurants, and food courts. Use drive-through, pickup, or delivery options. Avoid all discretionary travel, discretionary shopping trips, and social visits. That doesn't mean don't go to the grocery store or the pharmacy. It means don't just go shopping at the mall, which for the most part is closing as well.
Yeah, let me just say this also. We're getting quite a bit of questions coming in about church meetings. And while some states have put restrictions in place, others have not. But let me tell you this. Here's what the law is. If a state or a county were to say, we think any gatherings over 10, because of the public health situation, is dangerous. It's called a content-neutral time, place, and manner restrictions. Those are constitutional. In other words, the court would uphold the restriction. So what I'm seeing a lot of churches do is utilize social media, other platforms, to get the message out. And I think, again, if we want to flatten the curve, all systems, all approaches should be utilized. But I don't want you to think there's a great constitutional case if, for instance, your church of 1,500 was told we prefer you not to meet, and rather you do it in different ways, that's somehow a great constitutional case to challenge. We don't believe it is. That's a position of the American Center for Law and Justice. Let me also say that's a position of someone who's been litigating these cases for 40 years. And I worked on most of the law. Not bragging, but I mean, I handled a lot of the cases involving time, place, and matter restrictions at the Supreme Court.
By the way, Rashida Tlaib walking back using an expletive when describing the power of prayer and the National Day of Prayer, but walking it back, I wouldn't say apologizing. But in her walk back, uses the exact language we used in what we put out, how she was attacking prayer, her attack on prayer. We'll get to that as well. Support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge month of March at aclj.org. Donate today if you can.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. The president is speaking now, addressing the nation. Another update. This update has been focusing primarily on economic stimulus packages for small businesses, tax relief for small businesses and corporations, which, of course, is important for everybody because they employ everybody. And so that again, and how it relates to tax season coming up, the amount you can defer in payments and tax that you owe if you're a small business or a corporation, how long that lasts, about 90 days. So that was important if you're in that situation. It's up to $1 million for small businesses because it passed through taxation. It's a 90-day deferral and up to $10 million for the larger corporations as well. So again, if they owe that in taxes, they can defer the tax payment. Let me be clear, too, about the power of our radio broadcast as we take your calls on COVID-19. We've got these questions come in from Karen in Arizona. I want to go right to it. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air. Hey, Karen, are you there? Looks like Karen's having some trouble with her phone.
Let me read her question because it was a good one. Is there much evidence against Tlaib? If there's so much evidence, why can't we do anything? Well, the truth is we did do something.
That's right. So on Sunday, Rashida Tlaib retweeted a liberal activist, David Hogg, who said, F the National Day of Prayer. F a National Day of Prayer. That's literally, and he wrote it out, spelled it out. It wasn't any kind of starring. It wasn't just you putting the letter F. So you know what we're talking about here. She retweeted it as a member of Congress. And we have the screenshot of her retweeting it. And again, she has now, we not only talked about it on radio, and we put together a petition, by the way, Dad, in less than 24 hours, it has been less than 24 hours since the petition went up, 75,000-plus people have signed that petition.
That's pretty, well, I mean, think about, I want people to think about that for a moment. 75,000 people in a day signed
on to
the petition
going on.
With a call to action, with everything else going on.
And I did a video for Facebook, just a short video so people could share with their friends and family. Yeah, I mean, so hundreds of thousands of people are watching that. And she has, in a sense, I said for her, this would probably be considered a policy. She's certainly walking back her retweet. She said this. She tweeted this out. Let me be clear, as someone who has been praying through this all and as someone who attended the National Prayer Breakfast, my retweet was not to be, quote, an attack on prayer. I say, quote, because that's exactly the language we used when we described what she did. Those were the words the ACLJ used, was attack on prayer. It was to bring attention to the need for meaningful action to combat this public health crisis. And of course, what we said is there has been meaningful action on the public health crisis. The president called for a national day of prayer because so many people weren't going to be able to attend their places of worship. Not yet because the government had put any restrictions on attending, but because the places of worship themselves, like the Archdiocese in New York, many of your churches as well, I'm sure, I know in mine as well, were encouraging people to worship from home, to tune into Facebook feeds, yep. to tune into the podcast, if you had a larger church that may be on television.
You know, I think the thing that's important to stress here,
but yeah,
is that your voice made a big difference in a 24-hour period of time. So we had 24 hours. We went from this ridiculous tweet with the expletive to the take back to the apology. And while there's a lot going on in our world right now, and I'll talk about some of the cases that we're dealing with even while that's going on, our quick response, your quick response, and Logan reminds me of this all the time. He says, we have to understand that God has given us an incredible platform between over 1,000 radio stations, Facebook and Periscope and all the social media outlets, websites. We have a big footprint. And when you add your voice to it, it makes a big difference. And then in this particular case, it really did.
Yeah, absolutely the outcome we were looking for, Jay. And I think one of the key components of this was we also mobilized, prepared to take action. We were moving forward on two veins. One was to file an official complaint with the House Ethics Committee, because I do think this was a violation of Rule 23 of the official code of conduct, Jay, which says that all members have to behave at all times in a manner that reflects credibility on the House. She did not do that. We were prepared to file that complaint. And the other thing was calling for the House to look into censuring her, which, Jay, I actually think at this point is still viable. Probably not the ethics complaint, but the censure vote I think would still be appropriate. But to your point, Jay, here's what I'm saying. We didn't just call people to express outrage that this happened. We mobilized and began preparing to take action. Quite frankly, Jay, I think that's why she took it back. She did not want an ethics complaint filed, and she did not want to be censured by the floor of the House. So we always try to do this. We bring people together, we message about it, but we also give them something specifically to do. And in this case, talk about a very quick resolution. I think that's what this is. Let's keep watching her, though. Let's make sure she stays in line on this one.
There's another thing that's going on right now, and that Secretary Mnuchin and the president have just addressed some of the economic stimulus that's going on. And look, these are designed to help companies so that employees can still be paid. They're also talking about direct payments to individual citizens of the United States. Almost kind of what Andrew Yang was talking about, but in the context of this emergency, because even better than they said would be, even better than the idea of removing the payroll taxes on a temporary basis, this would put money directly, immediately in the hands of the American people. So let me just assure you on this, in my consultations with people in Washington, that the economic aspect of this is significant. Countries where now the stock market, interestingly, is now rebounding, which is, it's going to go like this day to day. It'll be different. It's up right now at about 1,100 points. The point is, and I think this is important for the American people to understand, and for all of us to understand, is the president and the team in place are looking to do the most appropriate things they can for the American people. For instance, the president asked for construction companies to donate particular masks that are used on construction sites to local hospitals. This is what you do in the time of an emergency. Now, it's not a take. Now, the legal issue would be, is that constitute a taking?
Not at that point yet.
No, because the president has not said you must do it.
Right.
He's asked for voluntary support, and the American people seem to be responding.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. As long as we can keep this on a recommendation basis and people follow the recommendations, and then you get the state and local municipalities to enforce, like they have on beaches where people did show up in places like Florida, the state and local authorities showed up. And they started closing beaches. It's not something they wanted to do, but people were gathering in too packed of a crowd, spring breakers, college spring breakers, things like that. So they made the decision, which they have the ability to do, to shut down the beach themselves. And we had Clyde on Facebook said, since the CDC recommendations are not law, does it spark constitutional issues if states force businesses to close? Now, it's interesting because Clyde's already picking up that it's not the federal government forcing these businesses
Correct.
To close. It's states and even, so, in some cases, municipalities.
With the declaration of a national emergency, that authorizes the states to take what's called direct action. Now, there is a very important legal issue here, and that is, it's under the taking clause. Can you take, you know, this FDR did this, Truman did this in Youngstown Steel, in times of national emergency. Can you take over industries? That is not what the president is proposing. Now, there are going to be those that try to argue that that's what it is. These are voluntary compliance rules. I want to be really clear
social
on this.
Distancing, actually.
I am, yes, to protect the American people from a health situation. I am reviewing this on a constitutional basis and see so far no constitutional issues that would prevent anything that the administration's put forward at this point. These are voluntary actions. They're not mandated. The question would be, if we want to flatten that curve, will the American people do it?
Yep. Let's go to Anna in Oregon on line one. Anna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, Anna.
Question that I have. I was listening to the president. He was talking about stimulus checks, but is he going to be sending stimulus checks to those who are on disability?
This is a whole of government, whole of America approach to this crisis that we have. So while not each and every aspect of the plan has been rolled out yet, what you're raising with people on disability, disability checks are not going to stop. Mm-hmm. Hospitals will be seeing you. There's going to be, I'm sure in the days ahead, issues of our public health officials are utilizing every reasonable resource they have. And there are many that we don't even understand that are out there, including with our military, where they can create field hospital, basically, if necessary. Look, the hope here is this flattens the curve. I think the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday indefinitely postponed oral arguments for this month, and I'm sure the same thing's happened for April, tells you that the justices are elderly, as are some of the advocates. And, you have to be supportive. Now, the constitutional issues you're raising are the constitutional questions we're being asked. For instance, I've been asked about the church meeting issue. And I do think, again, I want to say this, if a state or a county were to say, look, Pastor, your church is 600, we're really uncomfortable with that happening over the next several weeks. And they're doing this usually at 2-week increments, kind of 2 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Time, place, and manner. I argue those cases against time, place, and manner when I thought they weren't. But the compelling governmental interest here is the health and safety of the American people. That is the most, that's the highest role of government, is to protect its people. So let me just be clear on that. And this is a great reason why that we're able to do this broadcast for you live, even during these times, is because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unprecedented time. We will play for you when we come back. Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, talking about getting cash to the American people in the next 2 weeks. We're talking about the next 2 weeks, cash to the American people, to those of you listening, whether you're on disability or different situations you're in, to stimulate, keep the economy stimulated. If you could support the work of the ACLJ, our average donation, $35 to $40, and you can double the impact your donation this month. Donate online at aclj.org. So how we're able to continue this broadcast, continue to come in, bring you the latest news, and analyze your questions on this COVID-19 and the legal efforts, go to aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we've got a lot of calls about what does a stimulus mean to me? We've already heard in the press conference there the tax deferment that will be allowed for small businesses
So
that do pass-through taxation, which affects a lot of your employees,
right.
You that are listening right now, up to $1 million, which covers a lot of small businesses. If they owe that much in tax, can defer up to 90 days. Remember, these are all measures which could be extended, but they're trying. Like, even the guidelines we got yesterday for the 10 people or less. And
even on the payroll tax holiday, they're talking about anywhere from 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, but on the guidelines, it's a two-week test to see if that significantly flattens this curve we're talking about, or do we need to take additional measures? Are people following the recommendations without having to go and make them legally enforceable where you start getting police having to enforce that? We don't want to get there as a country. We don't want to have to become the French or the Italians where they're having to do it by basically a kind of system of almost martial law.
Yeah.
Where the only city right now, New York is pretty close, but only San Francisco has done a shelter in place. New York is fairly close. They've said they're close to it there. But I want to play. This is Steve Mnuchin talking about how the federal government is trying to get cash to you within the next 2 weeks under President Trump's guidance by 26.
Although the president likes the idea of the payroll tax holiday, I will tell you what we've heard from many people, and the president has said we can consider this. The payroll tax holiday would get people money over the next 6 to 8 months. We're looking at sending checks to Americans immediately. And what we've heard from hardworking Americans, many companies have now shut down, whether it's bars or restaurants. Americans need cash now, and the president wants to get cash now. And I mean now, in the next 2 weeks.
All right, so let me tell you what that does. Tax holiday helps because it gives a break. Payroll tax deferral or payroll tax holiday helps, but it takes time. Direct payments to the American people puts the money in the hands of the consumer, which enables the consumer to pay their bills, pay their mortgage, pay their rent, buy the food necessary. So we should be optimistic that our government is thinking this aggressively. And by the way, I think in this healthcare issue, and we're going to get a doctor on this week to talk about some of the medical issues, is the kind of thing you've got to be aggressive on. And I think the American people understand that. The White House clearly does. Again, we're balancing constitutional issues. I'm looking at how the balance of all that works. And I will tell you that what I've seen thus far meets the constitutional standards, whether it's the gathering restrictions, whether it is, you know, some of these tax holidays that they're talking about or the direct payments. These are the way you stimulate the economy and are creative, because you don't want to have a situation where, look, here's the problem. We really don't know the duration of this. The president said if we can flatten the curve, this could be past us by August. That seems like a long time away for most people.
Yep. Yeah, it does. I mean, that is, again, what measures we're going to have to take to do that by August is also in question. So what does that mean? For most of us, that means school, you're not going back. If your school was closed, you know, for most of us, that means school. If that's been the decision made, you're probably not going back to school for the rest of the year. It means a lot of the summer programming that your kids were signed up for are not going back. It means more working from home. You know, they were talking about that today. Is that the industry that is actually seeing some comeback is like home computers, and specifically people who are buying screens for home, and kind of work from home setups, because that's an industry that was actually not doing so great because of laptops, things like that. But people say, if I'm going to be there long term, I need a bigger screen. I need multiple screens, you know, because of the tech world that we live in.
Yep.
So we're starting to see some industries pick up. I think that you will start to see that as well once this kind of starts. We start living in our new reality for the next 6 months. But go ahead.
I was going to say, let's get an update from Than. Than, as to where the legislation is right now on all these stimulus packages.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the best evidence we have, Jay, of the orderly way that the administration and the Hill are working together to roll this out. I mean, they're sort of three tranches. The one we talked about last week, which was the first $8.3 billion to address vaccines and sort of the virus-specific issues, that's signed into law. The second passage, package is the one that addresses paid sick leave, paid family leave, unemployment insurance, free testing. Jay, the House passed the technical corrections to that last night by unanimous consent. That doesn't happen here anymore, but they worked in such close conjunction with the administration that they were able to do that, and the Senate is considering it today. So again, an orderly process for that. And then today, I mean, literally as we speak, Secretary Mnuchin is briefing some of the press. He's heading over to the Senate to brief Republicans in the Senate after this. That's the stimulus package that you were talking about. And he specifically said, like you've been talking about with Jordan, this is going to be direct checks to Americans. And Jay, I think the thing that we need to say there is it's covering some of the gaps that might have existed in that second piece of legislation. And Leader McConnell has said that the Senate will not adjourn until that third package is passed. So come the end of this week, Jay, I think all three of those bills are going to be through the Senate. Probably the House will pass the third one by unanimous consent as well. And my guess would be by this weekend, all three pieces of those legislation will be through the Congress. Jay, that's a pretty enormous accomplishment given the current political environment.
No, I think that is. Look, and this is where the country needs to operate in unity, and I think that's happening. And you got to put the partisanship aside. I mean, I know we're in the middle of a presidential campaign, but the fact is the American people deserve a fully functioning government right now. I think that's happening. You want to go ahead and take a call? Or
yeah, let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Tina calling from Texas on line 3. Tina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thank you. If you'll just bear with me a moment, I do know that y'all are strapped for time, but I just want to give the people a perspective that I have.
Okay.
Back on the 12th of March, I felt like I had the flu. Fever topped at 101. I took the recommended precautions, wiped everything down with alcohol, Clorox wipes. Come the next morning, I put a call into my doctor's office. I had flu-like symptoms, but I had not been exposed to anyone with the coronavirus. I was not in fear of having it. But everyone in an instance like this should not leave home, but call your doctor.
Right.
I was asked the questions required by the CDC. It was determined more likely than not it was the flu. So my doctor called in Tamiflu, started that on Saturday. I'm self-quarantining. No, I don't think I have the coronavirus,
sure,
but I am being responsible and following my doctor's and CDC's guidelines. If you follow these guidelines, you and everyone else should be fine. So use common sense. If you feel unwell, call your doctor and follow their directions. It's pretty simple. So everyone, please stay calm and don't freak out.
Well, Diane, I appreciate you calling in. And by the way, I went to that CDC site yesterday because I wanted to be familiar with it as we talk about it on radio. And I'm glad to say that it is a very, very well thought out site. Calling your doctor is better than going in. That's why telemedicine is so important. So I think using the cutting-edge technologies means a lot. Look, folks, we're going into a break. When we come back, we're going to take more of your calls. But don't forget that the American Center for Law and Justice, we're there for you on this broadcast, live from our studios today, fighting in courts. We're up to 27 briefs that have come in on the International Criminal Court on the situation with Israel. We're reviewing all of those as we speak. Our Department of Education complaint against the anti-Semitic activity at Georgia Tech is now, I think, the first case that under the new rules that have been adopted by the federal government. That case we're moving forward on as well.
That's right. So, folks, we'll be taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Questions about this, questions about the new guidelines, questions about the economics of it, 1-800-684-3110. And we want to hear from you about how it's affecting your daily life. 1-800-684-3110 from different people from different parts of the country. 1-800-684-3110. Remember our matching challenge. We're only $10,000 behind this month online and fundraising. We can get back on track with your support. Donate ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
We will fight.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So breaking now is, again, President Trump saying people should be staying in their and enjoying their home, that they are considering some travel restrictions, but none of those have gone into place yet domestically. Of course, foreign travel has been. And by the way, the EU is closing its borders. So,
yes,
I mean,
that is important.
The world, the president who got criticism for closing our borders first to China, Asia, and then to Europe, now Europe, who is in the midst of a much deeper crisis than we are with COVID-19, Spain having to close its borders, Italy, full quarantine of its entire country, France, you have to have a permit to go out on the streets unless you're just by yourself to go to the pharmacy, to go to the supermarket, or to walk your dog. You basically have to be alone or with your child, but you cannot be in even like two adults without some kind of permit. Again, we are still in the recommendations phase for the most part. And restaurants are still able to get food to you. Stores, they say, have no problem with their supplies. They just have to have time to restock. It's not about supplies running out. It's that if you see empty shelves, it's because they haven't had time to restock. So they're adjusting hours to give more time to restock. So they're literally, some areas are emptying out by the end of the day. This is President Trump today. I just want everybody to take a listen. Bite 22.
Giving relief to affected industries and small businesses, and we're ensuring that we emerge from this challenge with the prosperous and growing economy, because that's what's going to happen. It's going to pop. One day we'll be standing possibly up here. We'll say, well, we won. And we're going to say that. Sure as you're sitting there, we're going to say that. And we're going to win. And I think we're going to win faster than people think, I hope.
All right. And then, let's go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Diana in Florida on line 4. She's been holding on. Diana, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Diana.
You there, Diana? Looks like Diana is not there. Let's go to Debbie from Pennsylvania on line 3. Good question. Debbie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I was just wondering what the legislative that was passed the second time about the sick leave pay. Is the government paying the employer to pay the employees? My daughter works at a daycare that's been shut down, and she doesn't normally receive sick pay, so I didn't know how did that work.
So I don't know if the implementation regulations have been put in place yet, Than, on the sick leave pay, but normally the way it would work would be the payment would go to the employer, who would then, because you take out payroll taxes and things like that, unless they do a payroll tax holiday, would then go to the employee. But I don't know if those regulations have been finalized.
Not all the way down. I can answer the question very generally, Jay. Basically, it's requiring 2 weeks of paid sick leave at 100% of that person's normal salary, up to $511 per day. There are some exclusions for small businesses and then large businesses that already have a program in place. And Jay, I think I would also add to the caller, while I can't give her the specifics of how it's going to be enforced, this is exactly why there's a third bill coming down the line, because just the way it's structured, there are going to be some employees that fall through the intent of that second piece of legislation, and the third piece of legislation is meant to cover that gap. So it's an orderly process. I'm not exactly sure where the caller is going to fall in, but that's kind of the general guidance of where they're trying to get to.
Yeah, so I think, look, I mean, some of this is they're trying to figure out the direct delivery methods. They're talking about direct payments to the American people.
They say that's happening.
So all of that will make a big difference.
Within 2 weeks. Direct cash to the American people, and more than what was being reported. What's being reported is like the $1,000. They're saying it's going to be more than that, is what Steve Mnuchin said. I don't know how that they'll come down on. What does that mean? Everybody? Does that mean everybody that makes up to a certain amount of money? Does it mean that and their spouse? That all has to be determined. But you see the stock market already reacting to that kind of news, and they're not kidding about this. This is stuff they're really working on. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. Great questions, comments coming in. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. And remember, we're able to do this broadcast. We're able to have Than on. We're able to have our team in live for you, whether you're listening on radio, Sirius XM, Facebook, or Periscope, all because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. All of our legal work continues here in the U.S. and around the world because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. Continue to support us and this matching challenge month. Donate, double the impact of your donation at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. I encourage you, too, as we continue to broadcast live, continue to broadcast on Facebook and Periscope, you should share that on Facebook and Periscope with people as we react to what's happening in our country and around the world live. And, Dad, you wanted to point out that Dr. Fauci had just done in this press conference, yeah. Which we're starting to see daily, different times during the day. Sometimes they've come in the mid-afternoon. Today it was earlier around noon, but Eastern time. But right now he's talking about the need for young people yes. to do their part.
So Dr. Fauci just said we cannot do this without the young people cooperating. There was a very interesting post on Facebook yesterday. I'm a big fan of Mel Brooks, the comedian and movie producer, and his son Max did a video where Mel Brooks was inside the house. Mel Brooks is 93. He looks great.
Yeah.
And Max was outside the house and saying, if he got it, he's 47 years old, he would get through it probably with no problem. But if I gave it to my dad, who's 93, he would give it to Carl Reiner and Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And we could wipe out an entire generation of the kind of historic foundation of our generational comedians. And while he was doing it in an upbeat way, young people, millennials, really need to help us that are over 60 here by avoiding places of exposure, which would then cause your parents or grandparents to be exposed as well.
And as we're getting more testing, I think it's a warning to young people, more and more young people are getting this. So, and it is having more serious, not necessarily dying from it, but they are getting hospital level needs yeah. from it. So do not think that just because you can beat it, it's worth taking a risk. A, because you're going to spread it, you're going to end up killing your grandparents or your parents. Literally. I mean, that's the message they're trying to send is you may not know you have it, especially if you've got young children, too, who are, thank God, the least affected by it, it appears. They also have to be concerned about where you're taking them around, who you're taking them around to. But I'd say it's that kind of idea is you don't want to be responsible, and you are responsible right now, for who you could potentially be infecting. So this idea that, you know, you're immune from it or you're not going to get sick from it, one, that's not true. More testing is available, and younger people are getting sick from this by the day. And it's still overly, it's the population being most affected is people over 60 and people with pre-existing conditions. But pre-existing conditions also includes pregnant women. That's young people. So if you're a person who's around, people who are pregnant, that's, you know, if you're in a certain age group, that's a lot of people that need to watch because likely yeah. one person in your friend group is or their wife is. And because of that, you have to watch. So, again, the effect is if we can do this kind of voluntarily with following suggestions, Dan. If we do it voluntarily, we avoid the chaos of the government having to come in and enforce it. But they will if we don't.
But we're trying to avoid that, I will tell you. We're trying to avoid that.
I would say two things. First, to the point, Jordan, about kids, I mean, their immune systems are generally strong enough to fight it off in some ways, though, you know, so they don't have exploding symptoms, but in some ways that makes them more likely to spread it. Jordan, but all of the people who are concerned about the government reaction, the government is trying to restrain from those actions. And it's if we follow the guidelines, if we respond orderly and with restraint, that we will prevent ourselves from having to get there. So in many ways, I really think it's incumbent on us to make sure that those restrictions don't become harsher. But look, I mean, if the spread were to explode, if we don't follow these guidelines, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the government to do that. So I would say it starts with us.
Dr. Fauci also said that we should know the effect of this approach that we're taking, this whole government approach, but also that we're trying to flatten the curve. We may know as early in 2 weeks whether it is working or not.
Yep.
But he still said even if it's working, the peak may be 45 or 60 days out, which would put us at what, mid-May for the peak. So that's how serious this is. All right, let's take some calls.
Yeah, Lee calling from Indiana online too. Lee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
And I just want to say that I support ACLJ completely.
Thank you.
So I am not a physician. I am an RN.
Yep.
I work in the ER. I don't give direct patient care anymore, but I do see patients daily. I speak to physicians, and those that I know think this is completely overhyped. And I think our economic structure was on the verge of collapse because of overreaction. Now, that being said, I want to say that I support what our president did in stopping incoming flights from Europe.
Sure.
I support all of that.
Well, let me say this, Lee, and I appreciate your support for the ACLJ, and appreciate your work in the healthcare industry. Here's the situation, how I view this. It's kind of like there are some cases you get occasionally where you have to operate on a certain vector, I would call it. And that vector says, you know what, I'm going to over-prepare. I'm going to overshoot what's necessary to do here because the risk factor of not doing that is so great. So I'd rather be in a situation for the country, say, I don't know, you know, 3 months from now, where we look at this and say, well, we overreacted and we only had, you know, 5,000 reported cases. And well, that's because the system worked. But I think this is a situation where you have to over prepare and be prepared to turn on a dime. Here's what Dr. Fauci said.
And the thing that I want to reemphasize, and I'll say it over and over again, when you're dealing with an emerging infectious diseases outbreak, you are always behind where you think you are if you think that today reflects where you really are. That's not word speak. Therefore, it will always seem that the best way to address it would to be doing something that looks like it might be an overreaction. It isn't an overreaction.
It's not an overreaction because you're trying to flatten a curve and you're not going to know the results of that success for weeks.
So it should appear on the surface as an overreaction. Yes. I think, again, it also depends on where you are in the country. I don't know that Fort Wayne, Indiana, where she was calling in from, is necessarily feeling the same effects as Seattle, Washington, New York City. But think about this. New York City, okay, it's the kind of epicenter of business in the United States and the world.
Yeah, shut down pretty much.
It shut down. Now, the stock market's still going. Business in general is still operating, but businesses locally in New York are not. So the only thing open is restaurant to go. They have very strict laws there about in New York City about this. So like it was not like in most places where you can get everything delivered that you want.
Right.
A lot of restaurants, you're not allowed to do that. They've lifted all these rules because of labor laws they have there. So restaurants to go and pick up, pharmacies and are the place you can enter. Grocery stores and bodegas, those kind of places you can enter. And again, very limited. Everything else has basically been closed. Now, it's been done in a sense voluntarily because of the suggestions. School is also closed, the largest school system in America. So I think you have to look to places like that and say, you don't want that to happen into your smaller community. But it could because of the way this spreads.
I'm going to say something else here. The president has a great cabinet. I mean, you look at the cabinet. You're seeing them in action. Steven Mnuchin, who is our Treasury Secretary, I think is doing a wonderful job, said that he's been instructed by the president to send checks to the American people in the next 2 weeks. That is to eliminate an immediate burden. And what you want to do to continue to stimulate the economy so that it doesn't go into a recession, if you could avoid a recession, is to continue to alleviate burdens on the American taxpayer, the American consumer. So direct payments to them is better than a payroll tax holiday, yeah, because that allows for direct spending, which stimulates the economy, which means also what? More federal income taxes will be paid by businesses because they're making, they're staying in business. So that's how this all works. Now, Van, go ahead.
Oh, but I mean, President Trump has been very clear about this. When he says this, I think it resonates with people by 31.
With this invisible enemy, we don't want airlines going out of business. We don't want people losing their jobs or not having money to live when they were doing very well just 4 weeks ago. So we're going big, and that's the way it'll be, and that's the way everybody seems to like it on the Hill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Delta was saying that they could be 8 weeks from shutting down. I don't think any of that's going to happen. What I do think is going to happen, though, is if there are domestic airline restrictions put in place, that's going to be to stop the spread of viruses. Look, I mean, there's some beautiful places in the United States, and I know we're listened to along the panhandle of Florida, and we have a big audience there. And I saw that Seaside, one of the most attractive destinations for spring break for families, closed down their entire, all the restaurants. I think there are some to go. The beaches have been closed down there because they felt like people were getting too close together, and it was concerned that it was going to overwhelm their limited. They have good hospitals in the area, but they're limited as far as size and how many people they can handle.
Yeah.
Those are smart moves. So what you have to do in situations like this is be smart. But Mnuchin said that the money is going to go directly to the American people within 2 weeks. So again, alleviating some of the burden. Now, Than, is Congress staying in session? What's the story on that?
Yeah, Leader McConnell has said that the Senate is going to stay until they pass that third package. Jay, the House is technically gone, but you know, all we have to do is look at last night. They passed the second bill by unanimous consent, even though some members had voted against it initially. I suspect they would pass the third bill by unanimous consent as well. Pretty big accomplishment for the president and the secretary.
They're subject to callback.
Certainly, they don't have to come back if they do it by UC, but absolutely subject to callback.
All right.
All right, folks, we cut back. We're going to take all your phone calls. Phone lines are full now, but if you want to get one in, 1-800-684-3110. Double the impact of your donation to the ACLJ. If you listen to this broadcast and you utilize it daily through SiriusXM, through radio, through Facebook and Periscope, donate today. It's how we keep it on the air in so many stations across the country. ACLJ.org, matching challenge, donate online.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. Full bank of phone calls. We're going to go right to the phone calls. John in California on line four. People got questions and comments. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, John.
Yes. Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
Question. Are you aware, or no, it's a little early in this situation, a stimulus package relating to local churches, smaller churches like ourselves, other faith-based ministry?
If there was a payroll tax holiday, that would apply probably across the board. But churches are not tax-paying entities, so except for you do pay payroll taxes. So for that standpoint, it would be doubtful that the...
More than the relief from the payroll tax.
But here's what happens. If your parishioners, if your church members receive compensation to ease the burden, that allows them to continue to tithe and
support.
That was
something I was going to say. You know, as churches are still... I mean, this is my church, for instance, is building a new a facility right now. And we'd all made pledges so that this was going to be not a burden, not debt for the church. And it was done pretty quick within a year. It's a church that has the resources to do so. But you know what? You could forget quickly if you kind of stop attending after a couple weeks. Hey, I need to keep my tithe in. I would encourage people, do that for your church. You know, if you've got your place of worship and maybe you're not able to attend right now.
Right.
Don't forget the church is still having to pay its bills. And unlike ACLJ, we're fully functioning right now. If it's a single church entity that has been told basically you must stop your schools, which most have.
Yep.
A lot of them have schools. That's it. Again, you paid for the year, so you're gonna they've got that money in. But those are teachers they've got to keep on their payroll for the rest of the year. Summer programs, camps, all that likely won't happen. And then of course anything that the church was involved in as an extra expenditure. You know, you still want that to be there for 6 months down the road when this is done. So you want your church to exist, right? And there's new ways of your church being able to get the message to people as well. So I'd encourage people to do that as well. This is an interesting call. Diana in Florida, we've seen a couple of these on Live 5. Diana, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, big proud supporter of you.
Thank you.
I'd like to know, what considering HIPAA, does an employer have, like, or know that one of their has tested positive for the virus,
so,
and what rights do the employees have?
Okay, so that's a really good question. So if your employer sets forth the rules, as we've done and others have done, if you have a cough or cold or whatever it is, you stay home. If you had coronavirus and were to then go in and expose your fellow coworkers, that would be a really horrible thing that you're doing, and not you, but an individual would be doing. So this is not so much a HIPAA issue. It's an issue of public health.
Yeah.
And in a public health situation like this, I think that the employer has a right to know if you have it. And that employer should say, yes, we've had an episode here and we're taking these precautions. Yeah.
And also, I think that we should look at the retaliatory people lose their job. I think if you handle it the right way, you should be sit home with sick pay until you recover, especially if you have COVID-19, if you have the virus, certainly. So I think that, again, a lot of these issues that people think are barriers are really not, if we don't make them. We can be good citizens without the government having to force us to. It's a test kind of the American will.
Yeah.
It's a test of the American people to an extent. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Janice in Ohio, line 3. Janice, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Janice.
Hi, thank you. I'm a big fan of yours.
Awesome.
I have two questions. Okay, I'm retired. I'm on Social Security, yep. $700 a month. My son is on disability, $500 a month. Together, we scrape by pretty well. So this $1,000 or whatever it is that the government is saying that they're going to give everybody, is this people who just work? Or does that apply for retirees as well?
We don't know the context of the qualifications yet. I expect we'll know that in the days ahead. But what it's really desired, you're still getting your check. So Janice, here's the problem. It's not for someone to get a bonus, so to speak. It's for people that I'm sure the structure, I haven't seen it yet, will be those that are not getting paid or those that are getting paid but a reduced amount. There'll be some standards in there. Than, is there any discussion on what that might be yet? I think it's pretty early.
Just know, Yeah, we don't have the specifics. I will just tell you what the secretary said. He said both in scope of how many are going to get it and how much that amount will be, he said it's going to be broader than what the press has reported on both those fronts, Jay. That's really as specific as we have at this point.
Yeah, so I think we've seen these in the past. It has come with a lot of restrictions. Unemployed, lost jobs. I don't think you're going to see that necessarily here. Now, there may be caps. Like, you know, if you're someone who makes a certain amount of money, you don't need this cash infusion. But again, it will not necessarily say that if you have a job, you won't get that. I think that's key as well. And I think that, as the president said, we'll have a pretty good idea by the end of the day what we're going to be doing, how we're going to be doing that, and how we're going to be out to get that to people. Because here he said it pretty clearly by 29.
I think we're going to do something that gets money to them as quickly as possible. That may not be an accurate way of doing it, because obviously some people shouldn't be getting checks for $1,000. And we'll have a pretty good idea by the end of the day what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, so we're talking very quick government action here. We're talking about by the end of the day and by this cash getting to you within 2 weeks. And remember as well, that's included in legislation, Than, up to 12 weeks of medical leave. So that people should take, if you get diagnosed or your family member gets diagnosed, and the number is going to go up substantially, even with the factor what we're doing with social distancing, the government's putting in place protections for you.
Yeah, this goes back to the last caller, Jordan. Up to 67% of your normal pay, up to $200 per day, but up for up to 12 weeks. I think that's what's key. So if you get sick, if you actually have to leave for medical reasons,
for months.
This is different. This is different than the sick leave. This is the medical leave. So if you do get the virus, the bill would apply you to there. So again, Jordan, it's kind of patchwork, but like Jay said, trying to make sure that everybody gets a little bit of help when they need it.
Well, this is why I prefer an economy based on capitalism than socialism, that we can come in with these social safety nets when we need to, but we don't always need to have them. But when we need to, we have the resources to do that. Let's go to Kevin in Georgia, line two. Kevin, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, Kevin, you're on the air. Looks like Kevin's not there. Let's go to Angela in North Carolina, final call of the day. Angela, thanks for calling us.
Thank y'all for everything y'all do.
Sure.
We greatly appreciate you. We support you.
Thank you, Angela.
Stand for something that most folks won't even hold their head up to anymore. My question is, and I know it's been asked a lot of times, but I'm talking for me and my daughters. We both work for jobs that do not supply sick leave or anything like that. What about us, and I'm talking probably but most of America, that doesn't have sick leave or benefits or anything like that? Where do we stand in this stimulus? And is it anything like what Bush did one time before? When
this
he
is,
sent
look, I think
money?
The plan on the stimulus, I mean to cut you off, but we're running short on time, is going to be for you're the person in the gap. I think the idea is going to be able to fill that gap and reduce that burden on your employer and on you. That is the plan. The implementation of it, we're going to find out in the next hours.
Yeah.
But they are moving aggressively.
It's for people like you, exactly, Angela. That's who the president and his administration are trying to protect the most. And they're taking action. So you'll start feeling those protections within 2 weeks, which is very quick for the federal government to respond.
Not kidding.
Even before you're sick, even before you're likely that spread gets even too much more worse. Now, there's primary state, Arizona, Florida, and Illinois. Ohio moved theirs. Georgia moved theirs. Puerto Rico, Louisiana, Wyoming, Kentucky moved theirs as well. But there are three, and that means 441 delegates up for grabs. And again, I think Joe Biden is expected to win all of them by double digits.
All right. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Don't forget, we're in our matching challenge campaign. Your support makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org. Part of that support keeps us on air.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.